Praise God. Great to see you on tonight. It's a joy. Thank you, Minister Woods, for blessing us. I'm great. Now, I got to admit, as he sung, it just got gooder and gooder. Amen. Amen. So I felt bad for interrupting. Amen. Come on, let's pray. And God, we afresh, we confess that we need you. We need you to speak to our hearts and our minds. We need you to give us a focus on the things of God. God, we believe that you still speak through your word. So on tonight, Lord, speak to us. Help us, Lord, so that we might get more than we anticipate. Raise our level of anticipation so that we might become everything you want us to be. We recognize we're living in dangerous times, so we need to draw nearer to you, God. Protect our spirits, protect our hearts. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So we are continuing at looking at Acts chapter 19. Anybody remember where we were in Acts chapter 19? Anything we talked about from Acts chapter 19? Acts chapter 19. Anybody remember anything from Acts chapter 19?
How'd you do it? When it was fun.
Amen. Acts chapter 19 is challenging because it could convey to someone who was uninitiated or uninformed that the Holy Spirit is of another baptism. And so even today, many denominations have a lot of controversy about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this is a common conversation. And you know someone, or you'll get a chance to have a conversation with a cousin, and the cousin will say something like this. They'll say, well, you know, you may not believe in tarrying for the Holy Spirit. You may not believe in speaking in tongues. If you don't, I would encourage you to reconsider that, because there's nowhere in the Bible that says that the speaking in tongues is not of the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible does not say, the Bible does not make that the exclusive evidence of the Holy Spirit. We do that, amen, because we're flashy. We like signs and wonders. The Bible doesn't do that. However, the Bible does not say that the gift of speaking tongues has passed away. All right. They'll say, if you haven't tarried for the Holy Spirit, I remember when I did it, and I got the gift of this, and the pastor laid it here to slap me, I fell back. And when I came back, I've been more intimate with the Holy Spirit than ever. And I concur with their experience. There is nothing wrong with acknowledging that there was an epiphany in your life when you gave emphasis to the work of the Holy Spirit, and consequently, you've been more sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Think about what I'm saying. If you were unfamiliar with something, for example, just for lack of a better understanding, yoga and stretching, and someone came to you and said, if you start stretching every day, you will feel better. And so you stretch every day, and consequently, you do feel better because you become more attentive to your physical body. So it is with the Holy Spirit. When you become more attentive to the working of the Holy Spirit, then yes, he is more, quote unquote, real in your life. So the argument is that we don't want to negate anyone's experience. However, we want to be clear that the scriptures have promised the Holy Spirit to every believer. You remember that? Amen. And we've talked about this before. And so the one scripture that I want you to take, and I know you went home and memorized it, it came from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. If you have your handouts, the top of the handout. Amen. All right, here's a handout from last week. Here's a handout from last week. Thank you. It says this. Ready? It says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So we emphasize, and we didn't go as much as I want to into some of the aspects of John, but we emphasize John's work, and his work was and is different than the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that comes from Acts chapter 19. Now, before Acts chapter 19, it's important that we just, for a second, consider what happened in Acts chapter 18. I'll tell you why in a minute. Acts chapter 18 was not necessarily a high point. I got to be careful how I said this. It was difficult times for Paul. But remember, God blessed. Why'd you move that far away? Everything all right? Okay, amen. It was difficult for Paul. He was under a lot of pressure. He had some hard moments. He had some hits. He went through some storms. And remember what God did. Remember what God did when he was discouraged and he was weary? This is 2 weeks ago, but you remember what he did? He sent him help. And I'm glad you said it that way. Thank you so very much. Because on today, you're going to see the inverse. You're going to see the inverse, and that's so beautiful, so powerful. God sent him help, and throughout the scriptures, you hear these names, and they are Aquila and Priscilla. Amen. God sent him these friends to be support for him. Now, before we, I guess I'll give it to you next Wednesday, but at some point, I want you to look at the friends that God has, the association, the good to see tonight, the group that God put around Paul throughout his journeys. Amen. All right. So that was almost 3 years ago when Paul, it was for us 3 weeks ago, but when Paul fellowshiped with Aquila, that fellowship began about 3 years ago. And so now, then was bad, but now is good. Oh, yeah. If you go to Acts chapter 19, you'll note this verse. Acts chapter 19, when you got to say amen. Got it? Verse 11. Somebody want to read that? Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Somebody want to read that? Nice and loud. Nice and loud. I'm going to throw this at you.
And God walked.
Oh, go ahead, brother.
By the hand of Paul.
Amen.
I'll start over. And God wrought, I'm saying that correctly, I believe,
yeah,
special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.
Amen, amen. You can pause right there. So that's just one highlight, but if you were to read the surrounding verses, things are going really well for Paul. He's an evangelist. Evangelists go about teaching and preaching, and what you want is people to be encouraged and people to be saved. And people are being encouraged and people are being saved. Things are going really good. All right. I mean, think about it. If you had a handkerchief and the handkerchief you touch, somebody else, I've got a cold, don't touch the handkerchief I have. Amen. Because you won't get healed, you'll get sick. Amen. So things are just going really, really well. And there's a wonderful lesson in that, because there will be times in our life when we are living the high life. Amen. That's old Budweiser state, so don't, you know. When things are just going well, when everything you do, it could call the Midas touch, you're just extra blessed. You know, you got a bonus on your job. They call you back and say it's time for a promotion. Amen. And then you get a tax return and everything. Amen. Your kids are on the honor roll. Amen. You fill your car with gas. I mean, people undercharge you at the grocery store. I mean, undercharge you. Everything is going well. And I think sometimes we rush past those moments in Scripture and in our life. But there are some valuable lessons in those moments when things are going really well. Really, there are. There are some valuable moments. I mean, there's some people in here who haven't been to a doctor in years. Don't brag about it, because you need to go see your doctor. Amen. Amen. And then there's other people in here who, you know, you don't really worry about finances. The Lord has blessed you financially. The other people who you've got relationships that are great. You know, you've been blessed. And I think we can glean a lot from this scripture. It starts off with that high point. I just lift that high point up. Now, I need to pause and let you know that as Christians, we're not into relics. You know what that means? Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to cause anyone to get up and leave or be mad, but for those of you who have your rosaries and your special crosses and your special this and your special that, Christians have always throughout the scriptures been discouraged from placing great spiritual value in material things. Amen? All right. Let me give you just one example. You remember what happened to Moses when he died? The Bible declares that when Moses died, God handled his funeral arrangements. So you don't know where I'm at. Well, why didn't God want us to know where Moses is at? Because people would have been like, oh, these are the bones of Moses. Oh, God. Now, when he was living, they were kicking his behind and talking about him like a dirty dog. But when he was dead, they said, he's the man. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so just whatever, I don't know if that may not be something you've ever wrestled with, but just be very careful that you don't have any material stuff that you begin to see as a spiritual value. You know, you don't have any, you know, I've got to pray with this cross, and I got to have a special mat that I go to. We don't do that. Most other faiths do, but we don't do that. Amen? All right, so let's continue. So this is an exception here. It's not the norm. If someone tries to sell you a handkerchief on television, I would tell you steer clear of that. Amen. Incidentally, Paul didn't charge for it. Amen. 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 So let me give you three lessons, and you'll get the handout with it as well. Let me give you three lessons on that I believe we really should glean from Paul's season, really through the Acts chapter 19, you see this high point where he's blessed, doing very, very well. And I believe it applies to your life and my life. Here's the first one. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. First, seasons come and seasons go. Said, well, of course, we know that, Reverend. I want you to get this. Don't rush past this. Seasons come and seasons go. For the Christian, we have one certainty and one constant. I am blessed to have a great wife. I really am. But I can also tell you there were at least one season when things were so bad. She couldn't stand me and I couldn't stand her. Seasons come and seasons go. Even in church life. There are seasons when you come to church and you feel like, you know, every time you walk in, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You're floating on air. You could do a backflip without any effort. Everything is wonderful. Seasons come and seasons go. So this is important for us to be reminded, because one of the lessons that it helps us with is when we are in the difficult season, just like we've had some great seasons, we can be reminded we'll have some great seasons. Just because you're in a bad season now doesn't mean everything is over. I don't know if you like sports, but I've got this one team I sort of watch because he's a great, he used to be young, not young anymore, but a great coach. I think he was the youngest, Tomlin, at the time, to win like he won. Well, if you ever listen to him, he is not downcast and discouraged even in difficult seasons, because his philosophy is one of seasons come and seasons go. And as Christians, that must be your thinking. Your theology is not, oh, my child's acting up, I'm going to get rid of him. No. This is a hard season in the life of a particular child. In fact, I have several children. And look, all of them have a good season and all of them have a bad season. People come to me and say, oh, so-and-so is just an angel. I'll be like, It's their season. Amen. I'm sorry. Amen. But Sean Mitchell has this wonderful song. Let me share the lyrics with you, and you know them, but I'm not going to sing them. I'm just going to share with you. It says, it won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. Sooner or later, turn in your favor. He says again, sooner or later, turn in your favor. It's turning around for me. It's turning around for me. So we can be confident that in changing seasons. Oh, you don't know that one? But Sean Mitchell, it's a beautiful one. Bad brother, blessed brother, humble spirit too. But it's the idea that things come, things go, seasons. So we should not be fickle. We can be faithful knowing that seasons change, but God does not. Somebody turn to James chapter 1, verse 17. And you know this, but I just want to pause at James chapter 1, verse 17. It's a wonderful reminder to all of us who are spiritual. It's a wonderful reminder of us, to all of us, that while seasons change, while the weather does change, while your finances do change, while your relationships, James chapter 1, verse 17. You ought to memorize this one. You ought to memorize this one. Somebody want to read that nice and loud? Go ahead and yell it at me like I stole something. Come on, nice and loud. Yell it. Come on, say it again.
Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change. Oops.
Amen. There's no variant, somebody said? There's no variation? Does anybody else have another translation?
I have the shifting.
No variant? Okay, anybody else have another translation? Nothing deceitful? Amen. You guys don't have a translation that says?
I do. I have the New King James.
What does the New King James say?
Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
All right. I want to get to shadow of turning because it's an interesting phrase, and it really talks about the solar system and how, and this is, could be a little difficult for some. I'm not a scientist, but it's the idea that the sun is constantly shining. And even if you're on the side of the moon, the sun is still shining. And so one of the things we have to remember is that God, even when you cannot feel God, even when you cannot see God, even when you cannot hear God, God is constantly good. Yeah. And it's your maturity, Hodari. It's your faith. It's your conviction that whether I hear God, see God, or feel God, He's still shining in my life. Yeah. And you've got to know that because your evaluation is temporary. It is. We don't know what's good. We think we know what's good. Yeah, all the time. But you say that to somebody who's going through it, they'd be like, God ain't good. What do you mean? I told you the story of the bird that was flying south. Y'all remember that? Bird flying south, and it ran into a cold season. And so as it was flying, it just got too cold. It crashed to the ground, freezing to death now. But just then, a cow came along. And the cow dropped a cow patty. So the bird is now saying, oh my goodness, I sure am warm. This is nice. And the bird said, well, you know, I do admit it stinks, you know. Just then a cat came along and the cat cleaned that bird up real good. He said, oh, now I'm warm and I'm clean. And then he ate it. Yeah. Your estimation of God's work is not accurate. Does that make sense? You and I cannot measure God's performance. We can't. Who am I to tell God that His timing is off? I can't do that. God knows what He's doing, when He's doing, and how He's doing it. And so all I can do is say, God, I trust You. I trust You farther than I can see You. I trust You deeper than I can feel You. I trust You. And when you do that, then your conviction will carry you through those seasons. Yeah, that's what we have to work to do. Anything else will be wishy-washy. We'll be fickle. We'll be sometimes in and sometimes out. And I don't want to attack you. I don't want to get on your nerves. I'm not trying to offend you. But people who are wishy-washy get on my nerves. They're on fire one Sunday. Oh, God is good. Speaking in tongues, slapping people. Next Sunday, oh, Rabbi, I don't know. You just don't know. I mean, God doesn't want that. He wants us to be stable. Always, you know, and that's what you want to get. And it's very fatiguing to be fickle. It is. You up, you down, you in between, you know. Amen. So first, it's a reality that we have to accept that God is constant. He's constant. He's always there. He is not fickle. Just because I have an area of my life that's difficult or my heart's been broken in something, that's okay. God is still God. You don't determine God's goodness by your experience. He's still God. Yes. Oh, it's coming around. It's coming around. Coming around. Amen. God is constantly good. God is always good. And sometimes when you think that he's doing his least, he's already done his most. So just know that God is good. Second, so that's a reality. Incidentally, I was reading Minister Johnson made a post on Facebook, and he was saying how excited he was to be honored by the sorority that honored him. And then he said, you know, it's good because sometimes you feel like things aren't necessarily going well, and then something happens. Well, that's true. You don't know. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean God isn't doing it. Second, when you're in a blessed season, it's a great time. It's a great time to be a blessing to somebody else. When you're experiencing, it's a great time to be a blessing to others. When you're experiencing blessings, that's a great time to be a blessing to others. Now, if you know me, I also like to preach and teach that when you're experiencing hardship, it's a great time to be a blessing to others. But, you know, especially when you are blessed, it gives you an opportunity to bless others. When you have, it could be an abundance of encouragement. It could be financial resources. It could be extra time. When you have something, God has given it to you to be a blessing to somebody else. You really now say, how can I spread this wealth? Don't stay home and eat akandash. But go say, let me bless somebody else. Let me go do something for somebody else. What was that? Oh, you need more handouts. Oh, do I have any more? All right, there you go. So you want to take advantage of the opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. And that's exactly what Paul did. Now, because the passage is condensed, it's sort of difficult to know. But what he essentially did is he went back to the churches that he had established to encourage them. He went back by and said, hey, guys, keep the faith. Hey, how you doing? Continuing to preach and teach. And he collected finances for Jerusalem. And then lastly, it had a line, which I'm glad you mentioned. It had a line that says that Paul sent helpers to other churches. I should probably read it, but he sent helpers to other churches. And so when you have been gifted, been blessed, you have an opportunity and an obligation to bless somebody else. I wanted to pause as we did this and bother you. Amen. So wake your neighbor up real quick. And I want us to just list a couple ways that Shiloh intentionally is blessing this community. So who wants to start first? Say it again. She said the food pantry. How familiar are you with the food pantry? Amen. You are very. How many of you haven't been here doing the food pantry serving? Come on. You're not in trouble. Just raise your hand. If you haven't been here doing the food pantry serving, I want to challenge you to just stop by. I don't take pictures because it would really be disrespectful. But on a Saturday morning, I got to get a hold of myself. Come on now. Get a hold of yourself. Don't let tears come to your eyes. You'll see a line going down. Every race, every age, people who look like they have absolutely nothing and people who look like they have something, and they're waiting for the doors to open. And they come in so excited. I mean, literally, they just are glad to get what we are giving. And this is bad for me, and I'm not trying to insult my children or my household, but some days they'd be like, oh, you know, if it's not, there's too much cheese on that pizza, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to go to bed, you know. And you'd be like, oh, really? But when you realize that there are some who this is their only meal they're going to get today, that's one way, the food pantry. The Lord's Kitchen. Is there anybody who hasn't been by the Lord's Kitchen? You haven't gone into the Lord's Kitchen. All right, the Lord's Kitchen is in the building next door. Is in the church next door, and needs some work. So pray that the Lord will make that work possible. And 2 days a week, it's Wednesday and Thursday. There's a hot meal, And boy, people are coming there and are excited to get that meal. And all different, go ahead. Delicious meal. It is. They're excited to get that meal. And there's a host, name some of the members who do that. I don't want to just name Homer. Name some of the members who do that. Amen. Brother Homer and Betty, Lois Green, Betty Horton. Amen. 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 And you're very faithful. Every now and then she'll bring me a plate of that chicken. Amen. Amen. It's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Anything else? Anything else? The clothes closet. The clothes closet. Amen. Thank you. The clothes closet. I don't know if you're familiar. That's something like giving away the food, because those people who line up are typically getting clothes, you know, and it's just a blessing. You'd be surprised. You can get some really nice clothes that, you know, we're giving to the community. Again, every race, every faith, anybody. Anything else? You said the nursing home. Well, what do we do at the nursing home? Amen. We have a couple regular services now. We have an evening service. We have a day service. And as the day service, the associates either teach or preach, depending on where they are in their licensure process. And it's amazing to see a room of 25 people in a wheelchair packed in there. And some of them are saying amen and interrupting the service, you know, not interrupting, but participating in the service. And others are obviously struggling, but they're just glad to be in there. And they are so, they just say, thank you, amen. And some of them say that, Reverend, I used to go to Shiloh when I couldn't make it, but I can't make it anymore. You know, one day I might be in that nursing home. And so you're going to want to turn off the soap operas and come downstairs and get a word. Amen? And anything else before we move on? The prison ministry. And I got to make it. But people talk about the prison ministry. Just the excitement of the brethren who are there to be part of worship. And that's wonderful. Anything else?
You think the charter school would get blessed?
Absolutely! Now let me bother you. Then I promise you I'll dive back into the lesson. And I'll tell you why I'm doing this. I'll dive back into the lesson of this specific text. If you ever go to the graduation, you will cry. This little girl looked like she was my daughter's age. Pretty little girl. She comes and she says, I am so happy to have the support and to be the valedictorian. And she talks about, you know, I worked hard to get my A's. And she talks about, and I remember the day my dad died, all the teachers came to my home. And they helped me through the years. They walked through. So you know, it's a wonderful ministry, and I appreciate the fact that the school is one of our biggest business partners. You know, $500,000 right out there. That's a blessing. That's a real blessing. But I don't know that that's the biggest thing that's happening. I think that's pouring into the community, trying to raise the level of education, trying to, you know, offer a witness, maybe not explicitly saying Jesus Christ is the way, but helping people to know that there's opportunity, helping people to know that there are choices. I mean, at least twice a year, there is a homicide right around this building. And so the fact that there are 400 kids being encouraged is meaningful. In fact, there's a lady across the street I got to get to, because people come to me and they tell me, you know, the 8-year-old child was in bed with their newborn. The 8-year-old child rolled over on the newborn, and of course the newborn died, you know. So this church is a beacon of hope and light. You may not always hear the stories or see it. You may not always know what's happening, but this church is impacting people. And so, yes, we've got a beautiful building. Praise God. But that is not the peak of what I believe we're doing here. Amen? We didn't talk about just the people who are being impacted and encouraged, and people who are connecting, and the children who are connecting, the families who are being blessed, and so on. Amen? So don't lose sight of that. My friend Charles Jenkins, and he doesn't know me, I know him. Amen. I will say that my wife and I were one of the first people to sow into his building program. Yeah, we were at church in Chicago. I said, honey, let's give him a gift. And we did. But look, the point is, I'm sorry. He says this slide. He said, just because the devil is busy doesn't mean that God isn't blessing. And sometimes all we do is look at what the devil did. Oh, the devil did so-and-so. The devil did so-and-so. Man, don't you know God has blessed you 100 times over?
Yes.
All right. Hey, well, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, man. The tournament that we're going to have, you want to tell them about the tournament? Tell them about the tournament, because you need some volunteers, brother. That's why we got to correct them. We got to correct them. How many young men do you think passed through here?
And you talk about community. We have teams from Plainfield, but I am not exaggerating. We have teams from Manhattan, Long Island, Staten Island, a guy called me today from Englewood, from a church in Englewood. He heard about us 2 years ago and couldn't get in. And he said this year he was determined, and so he just called me today. He wants to come. From all over New Jersey and New York, people come to a tournament. Our little
Amen. Now, a couple things. I'm gonna rush back, but I'll tell you why in just a second. We had to pray because we had a problem. We have a problem with one of the basketball rims, I guess. The backboard. And it was gonna cost more than a grand. But God blessed us, so it's down, it's ready, and a lot of people are gonna be blessed. Incidentally, I don't know if it was exactly that ministry, but I know basketball was one of the reasons that our brother Alfonso is. Amen. Alfonso is part of us. And if you know Alfonso, I'm a big fan of Alfonso because he is the coolest cat you'll ever meet, you know. And he's got friends from everywhere. Every now and then he'll be hanging out with the friends. I say, Alfonso, what is that? He said, I was hanging out with so-and-so, but I didn't, Pastor. I promise you, I didn't. Somebody said, Pastor, you need to make Alfonso a deacon. Now, I know y'all. Don't get mad. Some deacons like, ooh. I know he's not ready yet, but it's the idea that you see a young man who's growing in his walk and growing in his talk. Amen. And so there are so many ministries. Incidentally, Brother Chambliss, which is his brother, I mean, he has a lot of family members who aren't biological family members around, but his brother, we just baptized, and I remember when he first started fellowshipping with us, part of it was on the men's retreat, and we were talking. He said, well, you know, I don't believe in Jesus Christ like y'all. I just don't. He wasn't disrespectful or anything. I just don't. But just from fellowship and time and going to classes, he is now he's a confessing believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I could go on because, you know, it's another ministry. Each time we come together and delve into the Word, because we're growing in our understanding, and that's supposed to be spreading like seeds, cross-pollinating, like a bee will go from plant to plant to plant. So these are ministries. Well, why are you talking about this, Reverend? Why'd you leave? Because it's really important to me that we don't give the devil more press than we give God. So go home tonight and get on the phone and call three people and say, you won't believe what happened. Call me right back. You won't believe what Pastor did. Call me right back. This is salacious. Call me right back. Amen. You call him. And then say, I heard the story about somebody getting saved. Or I heard the story about somebody getting fed. We don't want to give the devil more press than we give God. Because God is active and working. Amen. So let's go back. So when you are blessed, when you're in a season of blessing, and that season doesn't have to be necessarily material. This is number two of the, it's the second. When you are in a blessed season, it's a great time to be a blessing to others. It's a great time to be a blessing to others. If I had time, I would talk about some of my relatives who have blessed me the most. And some of them were the least likely to talk about God. They weren't real talkatives. But I had an uncle who, and my father was, don't get me wrong, was good, but when my parents were divorced, we didn't have a good relationship. I had an uncle who would do things like this. I remember I got stranded at the bus stop running. I was at the gymnasium, the Y, real late. And he picked me up, and I just knew he was going to cuss me out because that's how the man in my family were. You know, they laid you out when you did stupid stuff. He said, now look, I need you to get this. If you're ever stranded anywhere, even if you have a ride, but you don't want to ride with that person, you call me no matter what time it is. I won't ask you why. I won't ask you where. I'll just come get you and get you home. And I had a lot of, you know, that's the kind of witness that you're called to be. And you get to be. Amen? All right? And when you do that, you better than a preacher on a Sunday morning because people will see Christ in you. But here's the third one. I guess, let me read this one verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45. Because it's one of the key characteristics of the Christian church. One of the key characteristics of the Christian church. You know this, but I just want to emphasize it by reading Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45. Will someone read that real loud, please? Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45. It's a common thread throughout Acts, but it's a common thread in the Christian church.
And all that believed were together and had...
Yeah, he's just getting excited. We Baptists, huh? That's not a bad thing when somebody interrupts you in the Baptist church. It's a good thing. Amen. Amen.
And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Amen. Amen. So notice what happened there. And that is what we call, at least Rick Warren calls it, radical generosity. And it's the idea that in God's church, that if I have something, I ought to make it available to you. Now, I'm not suggesting that you get rid of anything that you possess for yourself. But I am suggesting if there's something that you can bless somebody in the house of God with, try. I mean, just see it. Who knows? Look, I've got to be careful because I don't want to start trouble. But I've got two sisters in the church. They're mature sisters, but they come by our house on a weekly basis and they help us. They literally help us. They'll help with the kids' clothing. And we have a lot of laundry. I'm telling you, we have two, we call them laundry baskets, but they're really big gallon, things of you put garbage in that we fill up every week. They come, they help with the laundry. I mean, they just help. They have access to our home when we're there, when we're not there. And they just help, you know. And I don't know what you can do, not for me, but for somebody in God's church, do it. Because what distinguishes the church is radical generosity. If we're not radically generous, then we are misleading. We got to take the name church off. Because that's what the church is. Okay, let's continue. I'm sorry. I get so excited about that. And really, we have to make sure that in everything we do, we're practicing generosity. Nobody should ever be able to steal anything from the church. Because if it's a matter of them stealing a CD, or stealing a set of tapes, or stealing a Bible, or stealing a turkey, let them have it. Let them have it. Let them have it. And then dare God to bless you. Don't you believe that God will bless your generosity to those who have needs? He has. I've seen him do it in my life. Amen. Let me continue. Now, thirdly, when you are in a blessed season, don't take God for granted. When you are in a blessed season, don't take God for granted. Now, some of you, this may not seem like something that is a grab or a fit for you, but let me warn you that it's very easy. It's very easy when things are going good for us to become cavalier or comfortable with God. And incidentally, one of the reasons God doesn't pour blessings out on some of us because he knows how we'd act. Man, I got to keep them on their knees because if they're not on their knees, they buck wild. You don't believe me. Job chapter 21, verses, and please listen, 13 through 15. Job 21, verses 13 through 15. Please listen to this because This is one of those verses you don't even believe it's in there until you read it. You go, wow, are you serious? Job, chapter 21, 13 through 15. Here's a wise man who's speaking of wisdom. He's speaking the truth of God, wisdom of life. And this is what he says to you and me. You want to start at 13, verse 13 to verse 15. I'm sorry. And you got to read it real loud. Listen to it. Don't doze off. Don't walk away. You got to get this. This is a warning for me, the warning for you. Who wants to read it real loud? I see that look on your face. Okay, amen. I'll let someone in the back. Hey, Sister Feaster, you want to yell it out? Amen.
Thank you. Okay. They spent their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the graves. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit shall we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their God is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How ought is the candle of the wicked but out, and how oft comes their destruction upon them? God distributes sorrow in his anger. They are stubble before the wind, and as a chaff that the storm carries away.
Now Sister Feaster, thank you very much. Let me give you real quick the Hamilton translation, because it begins by saying, you have it going on. Everything's going well for you. And so you decide, God, I don't need to ask you for nothing. I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your blessing, because I already got it. I'm living high. I'm living life on the hog. I got everything. Leave me alone, God. I'm doing well. One of the dangers of being in a time of blessing is that we misappropriate the blessing. And then we neglect the God. We walk away from God because everything's going so well. You don't believe me? Let me give you one verse. Another verse. This is, now I will tell you that you got to look at various translations, but this is from the Living Translation. Proverbs 16, 27, 29. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his mouthpiece. Which is to say that sometimes when everything seems to be going well, we neglect and negate God. Sometimes God literally has to bring us to our knees so that he becomes a priority in our life. Don't make that the case. Now, I know what time it is. We've got 4 minutes. Don't make that the case. Amen. Determine that, God, I don't have to be struggling or suffering to seek you. In fact, go back in your life and think when you were in a hard time. Do it. I mean, pause. Just think when you were in a hard time. Think when something really bad happened, or somebody was sick and you lost a loved one, or your finances were just terrible. Think back. Do you remember how you were? You remember how you would wake up and you would roll to the side of the bed and get on your knees? Dear God, it's me, God, coming to you in my hour of need. And when everything's going well, we hop up. God, oh, I forgot to pray over my food. I forgot to say thank you. I forgot to acknowledge the good. We negate, we neglect, we forget God's blessings in some of the best times. And so we need to be careful. We need to be conscientious that when things are going, you don't have to have a call from somebody in the hospital for you to say, God, thank you for blessing every one of my children. You know, thank you for making it as well as it is. I could give you a few other verses. I don't want to do that because of time's sake. But I will say that's one of the things that we need to be careful of. There's another section of this, and then we'll close in prayer. There's another section of this, really 13 through 20. And in your quiet time, I definitely want you to read it. But it's people playing with God, right? They see Paul, and so they say, Paul is doing these blessings in the name of Jesus. So they don't know Jesus. They don't pretend to know Jesus. But they go around saying, in the name of the one that Paul prays to, Jesus, be healed. So on one occasion, they're doing this, and the demon-possessed person just whips them, just beats them behind. I'm going to read to you. Amen. Really, let me read to you. Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Verse 16. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked, bleeding. And it goes on talking about it, even another section. I want to encourage you to don't be discouraged when you see people manipulating or mishandling the things of God. Some of us might watch Donald Trump, you know, and he's not necessarily doing it with God, but just his bad behavior. Don't be discouraged. Just look at your watch. You can write down the day, you can write down the time. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. I know a lot of preachers. Right? I know a lot of preachers. I know some of them personally, but I watch preachers. And it's so interesting how people think they're getting away with stuff. They do. They just think they're getting away. There was this preacher from Virginia. He went to Atlanta, started a church, and he was really charismatic, really talented. But while in Virginia, he picked up a bad habit from his pastor, and that was manipulating his mentees in unhealthy ways. I'll just leave it at that. Manipulating his mentees in unhealthy ways. He would take advantage of these young men, and they would call them the so-and-so boys, you know, because they would go with him and travel with him. But he gets to Atlanta. Over time, he does the same thing. Finally, it becomes public, and he pays his way. I hope I'm not going to name anybody, but if you figure it out, don't be mad at me. This is the truth. He pays his way out up through a court and buys silence in a matter of months. The brother lost 155 pounds and looked like just a bone. And shortly after, he went to be home with the Lord. The Lord moved so swiftly, immediately he got his court case, got out of court, bam. It happened so sudden. And a lot of times, we see people mishandling the things of God. I'm telling you, just wait. Just wait. It doesn't matter who they are. They can be Reverend Hamilton. They can be Bishop Tutu. They can be whoever they are. You keep playing with God, and it's just a matter of time. That's why I never encourage people to fear me. Don't fear me. Fear God. Because God has a way of dealing with bad behavior. He has a way. Don't be mad at people. Pray for them. You see him, there's this young preacher going around. He says he's Jesus in the flesh. And he waves. Have y'all seen him? Young black brother with some green contacts in his eyes. He waves his coat. People pass out. Check him out. He believes he's Jesus. His followers believe he's Jesus. Yeah. Just a matter of time. I pray for him that he gets converted. Huh? Oh, you can see him online. You know, you preachers get all these emails and things like that, you know. You know, like you get an email saying that Jamal Bryant's going to get called to this church, you know, weeks before other people, you know. Because you're in a little circle. But look, I'm telling you, don't get mad at people who are playing with God. It is only a matter of time. Oh. Seasons come. And seasons go. The constant in your life, and I thank God for my wife. I use that as an example. I thank God for her. But she is not the constant in my life. God is. Now, she has been constant, but I credit God because he is the constant in my life. Seasons come and seasons go. You'll have ups, you'll have downs, you'll have times when things just seem great, but don't get fixated with your senses on determining who God is. Just determine that God is the constant in your life, and James says that well. There's no shadow of turning with him. There's no shadow of turning with him. There's no shadow of turning with him. He's constant. Anything else? So we can close in prayer then. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And some of you may know, I may mention, we'll still be gathering for Bible study, but we're going to be focusing on prayer, and the deacons will be helping with that. Don't worry, I'll open up. Actually, someone else will open with praise and worship, and I'll open up with sharing like a thought for us to center our prayer around on that day. So during the 40 days of fast. If you're not familiar with Shiloh, we go into 40 days of fast beginning in January, and it goes into February. Our focus, we're fasting with a focus. Our focus is on unity. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Did I say that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, and it says this: I plead in the name of Jesus that you be unified, that you agree, because there's power in unity. Amen. There's power in unity. When we get together and agree in anything, the Bible says that God in heaven responds to that unity. God says, they united? Oh, my goodness. I got to bless that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's pray. You all right? You have a question? Oh, okay. I saw the mic. Amen. Deacon Bridges, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer, please?
Oh, okay.
I just saw the mic. I just wanted to make sure everything was right. Amen. Thank you.
Lord God, we are ever grateful for this evening's
Amen.
Worship. We thank you, Lord God, that you
prove yourself constantly. Mm.
Yes, you do.
To be true to your word.
Yes, you are.
Father, we thank you for the gift of life.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
We thank you, Father, for the gift of service.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord God, that you alone are God and you bless us in so many ways.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Father, for what our ears have heard. We pray, Lord God, that we will become doers of the word.
Please,
not
God.
Just hearers of
the Please, God. Word.
Dear Father, we thank you that all who were able to come out did receive, in fact, the blessing. And we pray, Father, that you would guide each of us home.
Please, God.
We will find everything there decent and in order.
Yes, God.
This is our prayer, Father, as we ask your blessings on each and every individual here. A special blessing for our pastor and his family. We pray, Lord God, as well, that you will continue to bless your church.
Please, God. Yes, Lord.
Not only the world church, but a special blessing for us here at Shiloh.
Please, Lord. Bless Shiloh. Yes, Lord.
We know, Father, that you are aware of all that is taking place. But we know, Father, that you are, in fact, in control.
Yes, God.
So we trust in you, Father, for the victory. We know that all will be well. Father, as well, now, we ask your blessings upon those who are sick. We know that you know where they are as well. Touch
yes,
them
God.
As only you can.
Please, God.
Renew their spirit.
Yes, God.
Continue, Father, to give them joy and peace. In the midst of that, we still go through. Now, again, it is in the master plan of our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Bless God. Great to see you on tonight. Don't forget there's a homework assignment for next week, and that's going to be looking at the friends of Paul.